Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning. And our theme throughout the month of June is Faith Promise Missions, and understanding that is the great commission that the Lord Jesus Christ left us with some 2,000 years ago. And throughout this church age, that is still the main mission of the church, and that is to reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ, continuing to do everything we can to help people to understand salvation. And so I trust that all through this month that you'll be encouraged and challenged to look to do all that God would have you to do as an individual and us to do as a church, so that we might do exactly what that song was teaching and singing about, as that is, reach the lost. Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3. If you have to look at the front of the Bible or to look to see what page it's on, go right ahead. And Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel was one of the prophets to the captivity, to the nation of Israel in captivity. Called to God to be a prophet, preach the word of God. Go ahead and stand with me here. Ezekiel chapter 3, we'll read the word of God together. I believe a message God would have for all of us that are here today, then I trust it'll be a help to you this morning. Ezekiel chapter 3, beginning in verse 10, we'll read down to verse 21. The Bible says in verse 10, "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man," and that's what he refers Ezekiel to, the son of man, "all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears, and go and get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, Blessed be the glory of the Lord from this his place. I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and a noise of a great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away. And I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Then I came to them of the captivity of Tel Abib, that dwelt by the river of Shabar. And I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass at the end of the 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speaketh to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man, and the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning, again, Lord, we love you. Thank you for the opportunity to be in church, and for each and every one that's here, as they have taken advantage of their opportunity and they're here today. And I just pray, God, that you would help each one to sense first and foremost your presence in this place. And then I pray, God, that you would give each one of us that ear to hear exactly what you have for us individually, that your Spirit would bear witness with our spirit, and you would use the preaching of the Word of God to reveal truths that will help and strengthen us. I ask, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your Word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. What a powerful passage of Scripture we have here in Ezekiel in chapter 3 concerning the prophet Ezekiel. But I want to take your attention there, if you will, to verse 17. When the Bible says, as God's addressing Ezekiel, he says, "Son of man," and these words I want you to underline, if you will, "I have made thee a watchman." I have made thee a watchman. Now, as we understand, Ezekiel was a prophet. God had already called him, and he knew that he was to preach the Word of God and help the people to understand the messages of God. But now we find that God is revealing to Ezekiel that he was to make him a watchman. Now, this idea of a watchman is not just for Ezekiel. You'll find it throughout the Scriptures, but I want you to look, if you are, just let me read to you. I want to go back to Isaiah chapter 62. You might want to write that down, mark it down, but I'm going to just read to you this one verse, because in Isaiah we find that God is speaking through Isaiah, and he somewhat mentions the idea of the watchman as well. Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 6, he says this, "I have set watchmen." God telling Isaiah, "I've set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence." Yeah. And so we find here that Isaiah is aware of it, and God helps us to understand that he has placed watchmen all around to be able to not to keep their peace and not to just to exist, but to tell exactly and to warn what God has them there to warn against. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6, and let me just read this to you, beginning in verse 16 down to verse 19. He says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths." Well, boy, that's something that we need to be doing today, amen, is asking more for the old paths to live as God would have us to live in America. But it goes on to say, "Ask for the old paths, where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." Walk in the old paths, doing things God's way, there's rest for your souls there. There's a peace that you can find. But he also, then verse 17, says this, "Also I set watchmen." God says, "Also I've set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet." But they said, "We will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them." And then he says this, he says, "Hear, O earth." Means that God says, I've got watchmen all around the earth. Yeah. "Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it." And so we find, and we could go on and on with some of the things concerning the watchman and where it's presented in the Old Testament, but can I help you to see that as we look to the Word of God, God has always had watchmen for every dispensation in time. Adam would have been a watchman in the very beginning of creation of man. Noah, and we're studying Noah on Wednesday nights. What tremendous Bible study. We're going through the life of Noah and studying what's the flood, the great flood. But we find that Noah would have been considered a watchman. Abraham would have been considered a watchman. Moses would have been considered a watchman. Then we look into the prophets and the priests, and the prophets that God had called to warn would have been considered watchmen. And then, of course, some 2,000 years ago, we find that God himself was manifest in the flesh, and Jesus Christ came to this earth. Can I tell you that Jesus himself was a watchman? Amen. And he called the apostles And the apostles, after Christ, became the watchmen. And after the apostolic age, Jesus established his church. And now during the apostolic age and beyond that, we had the full revelation of the Word of God. And we find the church had been established. And for these last 2,000 years, the church has been the watchman of the earth. His church, the true church. A watchman is someone who has been with God and has a message of warning from him. A message of warning. The watchman was to watch and he was to warn as God would have him to warn the people as to what was to come. He had a message of warning that others needed to hear. It's been the church. The church made up of individual believers. As we look at the book of Hebrews in chapter 13, let me just read this to you as well. You can, again, I encourage you to write these verses down. But in Hebrews in chapter 13, we find in the church, God has established the position of a pastor. And one of the things of the position of a pastor is that he be a watchman. In Hebrews in chapter 13 and verse 17, it says this concerning the position that God has established in his church as a pastor. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So we find here that even in this New Testament church age, that God has established a position, and one of the things that he has a pastor to do over the churches is to be a watchman. Someone who has been with God and has a message of warning from God. All believers are to be watchmen to their generation. For some 2,000 years, in every century, in every generation, there has been the church, and the church being made up of born-again believers who have been watchmen. In Mark in chapter 6, I want you to go ahead and turn there with me. I want to read a couple of verses here. Mark in chapter 6, as Jesus established his church, one of the things he did with them and to instruct them on what they were to do as a church is he sent them out. He sent them out to be able to go to door to door, to go to the people of the earth. And they were to go to the people of the earth to warn them about God's warnings of judgment upon sin. Mark in chapter 6, and look at verse 10 with me, down to verse 12. And he says, and he said unto them, in whatsoever place, what place you soever ye enter into the house, there abide till ye depart, from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you, when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Now this is New Testament church age. This is the people that have received Jesus Christ as their Savior. And now he's sending them out. And he says that this is something that he had established for the church to do throughout this New Testament church age. Go into the world, the Great Commission. Go into your neighborhoods and go to the houses of people and help them to understand the warnings of God. If they don't receive it, shake off the dust and move on to the next house. Not everyone's going to receive it. But don't let that keep you from going. And for that person that was warned, it's going to be worse for them today because of the opportunity they have and what they have to look to today. They didn't have that in Sodom and Gomorrah. They didn't have the completion of the Word of God. They didn't have the full revelation. It's going to be more tolerable for them in Sodom and Gomorrah in that day. And they went out, and look what they did here. This is why I said they're watchmen. And preach that men should repent. That's a warning. That is preaching the truth of the gospel. That is preaching the truths of God's word. This is what God says, and if you're not doing it this way, then you need to repent and do things God's way. The watchman. Wow. But what I'm going to preach to you this morning, I trust that that's laid the foundation. Everybody understand that? The Bible, what the watchman is, what it's said about. But now, with this understanding of the watchman and where this fits into our lives today. If you're saved this morning, listen to me, you are a watchman. If you're a part of this Lighthouse Baptist Church, God would have me as the pastor to be a watchman to preach warnings to you, to encourage you to go out and preach warnings to the world. Of Christ-likeness. But this is what I want you to see. I have made thee a watchman. Made them thee. He's already a preacher. He's already a prophet. But now we find that God has recorded this for us to learn from as well. I have made thee a watchman. How did God make Ezekiel? What did he do? Well, the first thing is the preparation. The preparation for being the watchman that God wants us to be. Verse 14 and 15. Go back there with me. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. I think this is very important right here. Now, Ezekiel is taken up. And whether this is spiritually, physically, we don't know. But God calls him and he's helping him to become, he's making him to become the watchman that God wants him to be. So verse 14 says, so the Spirit lifted me up and took me away. And I went in bitterness and in the heat of my spirit. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. I knew this was God leading me. I knew this was God working in me, preparing me. Then I came to them of the captivity of Tel Aviv. This is the ones he's supposed to talk to. This is the one he was sent to be a watchman for. That dwelt by the river of Shabar. This is Israel in captivity. And I sat where they sat. And remained there astonished among them 7 days. For 7 days, didn't say that he got involved in the sin that they were involved in, but he observed and sat for 7 days, identifying with the crowd that God sent him to be a warning to. In light of God's word, after being with God, knowing God's will, he was to know of the people that he was to be a watchman for. Can I tell you this morning, God's preparation for his church and for his people to be a watchman is to know the world in which we live. 21st century, 2015. Can you believe the world that we live in today? From a Christian perspective? From somebody that knows the Bible, that possibly has been taught the Bible, you've been taught the will of God, you've learned about Almighty Creator God, and yet we look in a society and children are being raised without any concept of a Creator God. We understand God's plan for humanity and how the children are to be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and we look around today and we say, it's not being done. We understand God's concept of marriage as he's created man and woman, and the man and woman are to come together and to be pure when they come together. Yeah. And acknowledge God and God's gift to a married couple in coming together in unity and becoming one flesh. And we look around in the 21st century, and we look around in our own neighborhoods, and we're looking around in our own society in the year 2015, and you've been with God, you know what the Bible says, and you're just observing. For 7 days, he sat and just looked around and observed how they were living, what they were doing. God's preparing him to be a watchman. We've been in the Bible. We know what God says about a wife and mother. We've been in the Bible. We understand what God has established as far as the man, the headship of the man, and as a father and as a husband. We've been in the Bible. We understand what Jesus did as he established his church and what the church is supposed to stand for today. And he sat and remained there 7 days. And look what the Bible says about him. Astonished. To be filled with sudden or overpowering surprise. He's been with God. And God takes him to where the people are at. And the Bible says, I could just see him with his mouth wide open, eyes this big around, looking around for 7 days, astonished. To realize that people don't know the importance of the Bible. To realize you think that they would have a Bible sitting out somewhere that you would think somebody would refer back to. Well, what does God say about morality? Or what does God say about the home? Or what does God say about raising children? Or what does God say about Sunday being the Lord's day? They realize they don't see the importance of the Bible. If you haven't noticed it yet, church, as we look around in the 21st century in 2015, in the society that we live in today, they don't understand the importance of the Bible. If they don't understand the importance of the Bible, can I tell you of a surety, they do not understand the importance of the true church. They don't understand the importance of the true church. They don't understand the importance of righteousness. Can I tell you, you're not going to hear biblical righteousness preached on how you are to live your life in the world. Now, you'll be given philosophies, and you'll be giving a lot of different things on how you ought to follow this philosopher and that philosopher, or even this religion or that religion, but you will not hear a biblical account of how God would have us to live our lives outside of the Bible and a church that has been given itself to preach the very words of God. And we look around and if you've truly been with God and you understand the Bible, you're astonished. You're astonished when you go to the mall. And just go people watching. I don't go shopping. My wife goes shopping. I go people watching. I think I have more fun than she does, you know? I'm thinking. I'm telling you what, I'm just thinking, why would they want to look that way? Who would want to put a big ball on your tongue? You can't tell me that is comfortable when you're eating or drinking or anything else. Who would want to put a big ball in their nose? Who would want to put tattoos all over their body? So what was it, the one athlete, he had his girlfriend tattooed on it and then had extra out and had the next that went underneath it, you know? For you know, your whole body is going to be filled with exouts, because you're changing, you know. And you just go out and you look at our society and you think, well, that person surely doesn't understand the Bible. Right. They surely don't understand the importance of righteousness. Right. Wow. Just astonished. But more than anything else, I think he was astonished at the fact that they didn't realize judgment to come. And really, that's the most important thing that the watchman will do. He is to present a message of warning. If you study the Bible, it talks about the watchman, not just about the prophets or not just about the pastors, it's talking about the watchman. And their main responsibility is to warn. Sad today that we don't have enough churches warning people. The preparation, and I think that if we would find ourselves there, if we would do some of the very same thing, the preparation was to go where they're at. something I do, whether I'm preaching at church here, I'm preaching at a conference, I'm preaching to preachers, I'm preaching to youth, I'm preaching at whatever it might be, I always want to try to sit where they sit. I want to try to understand who it is that I am preaching to. And in doing that, then I have more of an ear of God. I want to spend more time with God in that area of knowing who that God would have me to come in contact with and how God would have me to present whatever the message that He has for whatever congregation or whatever group of people that I'm speaking to. Because it's not me. I'm just the watchman. And they have a need of warning. The preparation is set where they set. With the mind of God set where they set. Understanding where they should be. The second thing we find about them, go back to Ezekiel chapter 3. Now, what's it? He made thee a watchman. He made thee a watchman. And how did he make him a watchman? First of all, the preparation. He put him in the midst of the people to set where they set to observe for 7 days. The second thing he did is found in verse 16 and 17, the command after the preparation. And it came to pass at the end of the 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me saying, now you're ready. You sat where they sat. You understand who it is that I've got you, I've called you to go speak to. You understand where they sit, what they're doing, how they're living their lives. Son of man, I made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth. They don't need to hear your philosophy, son of man. They don't actually need to hear what you think. That's not what we're here to do in representing God as watchmen. Yeah. Opinions, come or go, take or leave. The word of God, it's definite. Yeah. So he says, therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. Basically, go and tell them what I say. Which is the Great Commission. The first thing he told his disciples to do once he had established the church and established the importance of outreach, he says, go. The Great Commission is, first of all, go. And don't stop with just your family. Don't stop with your city. Don't stop with your state. Don't stop with your country. I want you to go into all the world. I need watchmen around the world. Yeah. See, we need to realize that the world must see something different in us if they're going to be warned. We are the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its savor, then what good is it? If they don't see anything different in the watchman, why would they want to take heed to what the watchman says? 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Everybody with me this morning? Amen. Come on. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. This is Bible. This is just what the Word of God reveals. And there has never been a more important day for watchmen than today. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, going into all the world, or going into the world as the light of the world, to present the gospel, to present the truths that God has given to us. And so he says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, this is what we're not supposed to love, the lust of the flesh. You can't be given into the lust of the flesh. You have to realize that that is an enemy. That is something that will not lead you to do right. The flesh will never lead you to do anything spiritually right. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So love not the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, it's of the world. We can't let these things dictate to us how we live our lives. And the world passeth away. Be aware of that. The world's going to pass away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 6, it says this. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The command after the preparation is to go with what thus saith the Lord. It's truth. And we're going to realize we go, there's going to be a battle. There's going to be opposition because we fight spiritual battles today. Satan is opposing the work of the Lord today, not necessarily religion, not necessarily good works. His number one goal is try to destroy his number one enemy, and that's Christ's church. Because that's the light of the world. What he's wanting to do is to keep the watchman from warning the lost. He's wanting to keep the watchman from warning against him. And if he can put the watchman to sleep, he can conquer. Wow. The command after the preparation, and then lastly this morning as we close. The projected response. He told him what to expect. Verse 18 and 19. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die. That's what he says. And thou givest him not warning. You don't tell him that. Nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way. To save his life. Now you're out there to warn him, to help bring him to the place of salvation, to save him. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. There is going to be an accountability for all that God has called to be watchmen, for what we do with the message that God has given to us. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked ways, he shall die. He's going to die either way. If he doesn't turn away from it, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. You've done what I've asked you to do. You're not going to be responsible for doing any more than that. Can I tell you, the projected response for the watchman is to realize we cannot save the lost. You can't save the lost, but we can and should warn them. He didn't expect you to be a savior. Jesus is the only savior. I cannot save anybody. I know sometimes people get confused and their wording gets confused and they say, well, preacher, save me. And I think, well, no, wait a minute, let's talk about that. No, I led you to the savior. I led you to do what the Bible said you need to do to be saved. I didn't save you. The only one person that can save you, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. We can't save anybody. We can't warn them. If we fail to do that, we will give an account for every opportunity we had and every time the Spirit of God says, warn them, speak to that person. They're lost. They need a Savior. And we fail to speak to them. And then we find in verse 19 and 20, the projected response. It's not only the lost. Yet if thou warn the... Again, verse 20, rather, it says, again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness, doth and commit iniquity, This is a righteous man that's decided to live or to commit sin. And I lay a stumbling block before him. God chastens him as God will do his children. God will lay a stumbling block. He'll try to get you to see what the errors of your way and get you to turn around. And I lay a stumbling block before him. He shall die. Not going to let you live here continuously without turning back to God. Because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin. And his righteousness, which he hath done, shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Puts it back on the watchman, even warning the righteous. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteousness sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. It does make a difference. Also, thou hast delivered thy soul. Not only can we not save the lost, but we cannot keep anybody from choosing to sin. Husband, you cannot keep your wife from choosing to sin. Wife, you cannot keep your husband from choosing to sin. Parents, you cannot keep your children from choosing to sin. Pastors cannot keep their congregation from choosing to sin. But if you look to God and say, God, help me to be the watchman that you would have me to be as a husband, the watchman that you'd have me to be as a wife, the watchman that you'd have me to be as a parent, the watchman that you'd have me to be as a pastor, let me tell you what, you're going to help your people or those in whom God has placed you a watchman over to give them the best chance possible not to sin. Or if they have chosen to sin, to repent of that sin and to get their lives back in line with the Word of God. Amen. But if you fail to warn them, if you just tickle the ears of the ones who come to church to hear the truth, if you don't stand and warn your wife, if you don't stand and warn your husband, if you don't stand and warn your children, you'll give an account. I've often said that I believe that God has given us the defense in a couple. He's given you a husband. He's given you a wife. I don't believe God will let both of you be blinded to the same thing at the same time. And if you are submitting yourselves one to another as God would have you to in the fear of the Lord, and if you are being all that you can be and being used by God to help the other, I think you're going to save yourself a lot of troubles. Maybe even salvage a marriage. We can't keep anyone from choosing to sin. But we should warn. Don't let the warning come from you. Make sure it's coming from God. But you are an instrument that God wants to work through as a watchman to warn. Our world is in great need of repentance today. If you know the Bible and if you've been with the Lord and you go out and you just sit in the society that we live in today, you just observe reading the paper, if you observe the news broadcasts, it will astonish you to see how far away from God's Word we have gone. The world is in need of some watchmen today. What are you doing as a watchman? If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed.